Let's start by telling me, like, how did you start? You grew up fishing?
I grew up fishing when I was little. This might sound weird here, but I grew up, as soon as I come out, hanging out with my mom from 2 years old, I was fishing. Like I said, we went to a pay lake, a normal pay lake that was run by some friends that you paid $8 a person to go fishing. You catch 4 catfish, and if you want to pay another $8, you get another 4 more. And I did that all through junior high up to high school, just fishing, and that's all I knew was get my rod ready, get my big bobber. I got to go get some worms, or I got to go to the creek and get some minnows, and, oh, I got to get this kind of meat to do whatever. So to go catfishing, you know, every Friday night it was a basketball game or a football game, and I wasn't no nerd or nothing. I just chose that I'd rather go home after the game, get some sleep, because I knew I was ready to go fishing at 5 o'clock, and I wasn't driving in, so I'd be up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, waiting for it to get closer to 6. I could say, hey, let's go. I need to just get to the lake, get a good spot. And I just loved it. And I just think at that time, gangs had been getting really bad in the town of Joliet. And I think that's what might have saved me and blessed me when I wasn't running around with friends and gangs, and all that, which I had no problem with them, but that's their choice. I wanted to go fishing. I wanted to go hunting. I wanted to do something not that. I wanted to have fun, and that was my fun. That was my thing. So from that age, from 2-3 years old till to this day right now, I'm slowing down now. I'm getting a little older, but I still love it. I still give it. But and then the challenge for me for fishing was, I can catch catfish and catch a bluegill. That's kind of easy, you know. And I come to the state of Wisconsin, and everyone's talking about walleye is the best eating fish. What the heck is it? I've heard of them. I've seen them in books, but I've never caught one myself. So I go to Minnesota with a guy, and he say, all right, we're going to jig a minnow. As I was saying earlier, I jig, put a minnow on there, throw it down. I felt something, but I was starstruck. I didn't set the hook. I didn't know. Bring it up, no minnow. And I was getting frustrated. I'm like, I got to learn how to do this. So I got jigging down. So I'm like, all right, I can jig with the best now after a few years learning this, that, and the other. And then you hear it about trolling shad wraps and crankbaits. Well, how do you do that? How do you know how much line to put out or do this or that? Or when do you do it? So I was fortunate enough to go down to the Mississippi River in Elma, Wisconsin for years, and I knew a local guide down there. Came in good friends with him, and he offered to take me under his wing to take me to a couple FLW National Walleye Tournaments as a co-angler and help out with gas and hotels and stuff like that. So I went with those guys, and so I was a guy in the boat helping them with things, and they were showing me how, okay, this is how much line, this is how many feet, this is that, and how to put planer boards on. I've never seen a planer board for my life. I don't know what these are. So I learned how to do that, and that was one thing I wanted how to do is troll. So then I got pretty good at trolling, but still not mastered the way I want to, but okay, I can make it. And then one tournament down the Mississippi River, I was fishing just a local little tournament, and the big tournament was going on at the same time. And I run into my buddy Joe Carter, like a brother to me now. And we passed boats, and I kid you not, we were only about 4 feet apart when we were going this way. And I kind of looked at him and like, okay, I got to talk to him. He's doing something I want to learn how to do. And so I didn't get to see him after the tournament, but I ran into him at another tournament, a big tournament as a co-angler. And I said, hey, man, I want to talk to you. And he said, okay. And then we got away from each other, and there's months go by again. And we ran into each other in another tournament. And this story is kind of funny here, but I had took 6th place in the NWT tournament. I was excited. And my partner, traveling partner at the time, drove off and left me at the boat landing. Now, I'm in Detroit, Michigan with no ride, nobody. I'm just got a check in my pocket, and it's raining. And I'm calling. His phone is dead. So now I'm like, man, I don't have no ride. I don't know nobody. Let me see if I can find that guy I seen in the Mississippi River. And so I ran into him, and he was in his car, and he was sick. He had what they call a gout, so he was in a lot of pain. And it's raining, so I come up to the door and bang on the door, and he's like, oh, man, this guy, I don't know who he is. So he rolls down the window and says, hey, man, we need to talk. I need to hook up with you. I want to learn how to get going to the next level, how you are. And we exchanged numbers, and I think within a week or two, I said, I got to call Joe. I just want to talk to Joe. So I call him up, and we talked. And we kept talking once or twice a month. We talk. And he had some tournament teammates. And I had fished at some local little small tournaments with some other friends, and we got talking more. He said, hey, man, why don't you come fish with me, and you can help me out, you know, be my traveling partner. Well, heck, that's all I need to know, Joe. I'm ready. When are we going? I was going to quit work if I had to get there to meet you fishing. I was going to make sure I got there. And he took me under his wing and introduced me about four other guys that I fished with and learned a lot. And every day it was a different technique of this person does it this way and that person does it that way. And I'm like, I'm trying to take all this in. It's like I should have been writing things down or taking video or something, but I just sunk it all in. And once I sunk it all in and then getting the trust from these guys, they just took me in like, you ain't leaving Brett. What time is Brett going to be here? We'll pick him up, whatever. I mean, I was all part of a team. And from that point on, I just been going forward and working hard. And I've had some close ones. I took some seconds. I took some thirds. I had some lot of failures going backwards, but I still learned. I met a lot of great people on the tour. I've only had one issue with one person, and I say 20-something years on the tour, so I think that's a good percentage for me right there, thumbs up. I'm just hoping to get to that next level, and Joe is helping me, and these other teammates that we used to fish with that retired now, they're pushing, and they know, and there's other friends of mine saying, hey, you know you can do it. So I'm just hoping one day I get my blessing that, hey, I get my own boat that I can say, all right, I'm going to go jump in the tournament. You got to crawl before you walk. I might be last, but hey, I'm going to be out there, and I'm going to keep working and working and working. And God willing, he's going to bless me with a win or get me up there or get what I need. And that's all it's about. And my son, he loves to fish, and I taught him things that right off the bat that I never knew about, how to jig. He loves to jig. He likes to drag bite. He hates trolling. I want to learn how to troll. He hates it. I can't get him to go to Great Lakes with me trolling. I have to tell him we're going casting to get him out in the boat with me to go out of the Great Lakes. We have to troll because he thinks it's boring. I think it's effective because you're covering more water. But in the new game now with the forward-facing sonar, these guys are seeing these fish and pinpointing them. That's another thing on my bucket list. I got to learn how to do that. And so I've learned a few of those tricks with a couple of these guys doing some tournaments. I just got to do more of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping it's going to happen soon.
So what is it about the challenge? Is it a challenge or is it the curiosity? Or what drives you to master all these elements of walleye?
Yeah, the challenge for me is that people look at me and think I can't do it. People say, why is he out there fishing walleyes? Why can't I fish walleyes? I'm not breaking any laws, so I like to fish the fish, and they taste great, so I want the challenge. So walleyes, to me, is the biggest challenge, and so I'm going to go do it. Until you tell me I can't fish anymore or I can't physically go out there and do it, I'm going to fish. And that's the bottom line. I'm going to go out there and fish my heart out, and if someone wants to take me on the wing and teach me something, I'm going to take that knowledge, and I'm going to appreciate it. If someone wants to sit there and look at me and roll their eyes and say I'm crazy, that's their opinion. I'm not going to sit there and argue with anyone. I'm just going to, my dad's famous word, kill him with kindness. I'm going to do my thing. And one day it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
So is part of the I mean, obviously walleye is one of the species. Mm-hmm. But is part of it just that the idea that some people think that you don't belong in that space?
There are people that say that I don't belong there because who I am, and I don't understand that. I mean, I'm a citizen, I'm a person, I'm a man. I like to fish, so why can't I go fish that fish? That fish got a target on the back saying for just that person? No, that fish is out there swimming looking to eat, and I can feed him just as well as you can, so why can't I do it? There are people out there like that, and there are people out there rooting for me to try to get to that level. And like I said, one day I'm going to do it. I am going to get to that level. And then if I win, that's a blessing there and for me. But I want to be seen. I want to be known that I can do this. And it ain't going to happen overnight. It's going to take a year or two or three. But I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And despite what they think about me and other people like me, we can do this. We can do this and enjoy it just as much as anyone else out there and have fun at it and hopefully succeed in it.
So for you, what's the difference between fishing and catching a fish when you're doing it in your own free time versus in a tournament? What is it, an adrenaline thing, or what's the difference between those two?
To me, it's not too much an adrenaline thing, because when I'm out fishing, just play fishing, I have more fun with it. When I'm out there in a tournament, I'm focused. I'm dialed in, want to be dialed in, and hopefully the fish cooperate, the weather cooperates, that, hey, I got to go out there and play my A game, because, hey, there's a lot of money at stake and pride and stuff like that. So when I play fishing, I'm out there lollygagging, throwing, whatever, and we're talking, giggling, talking trash to each other back and forth. And I'm out there fishing a big tournament. I'm trying to get locked in, dialed in, that, okay, I got to be serious. I might only get 5 bites. I got to try to concentrate all 5 bites that hopefully I can hook up and get those fish in, because there's a pride and some money and all that stuff on the line, and I want to be the one on top.
What's that? I mean, you talked earlier about when you first started jigging, you didn't quite recognize a bite. Like, mm-hmm. You might feel something. But what's that like when you actually know what you're feeling? Like that sense of like, ooh, there's one there.
Well, when I started fishing, I used a rod that was so stiff. I think it was like a telephone pole. It was so stiff. So then after learning, hey, you got to get a rod that's, you know, not as stiff. You got to get the right line. I mean, these rods right now, I mean, I got a rod. I can bounce it off a rock and I can feel a rock. I'm like, yep, it's a rock. Oh, I got a line that someone broke off. Oh, there's a fish. I mean, they're so sensitive now that now to me, it's an art. Just how do they want it? Do they want a fast hop? Do they want just a slap or just dragging? So then you put all those things together and figure out which way the fish want it and where they're at. It's like night and day. It's just having fun catching fish.
I mean, it's almost like jazz. Just like that.
Oh yeah, just like jazz. It's like, you know, yeah.
Yep. It's like, I mean, it looks like you're drumming there when you're doing that.
Well, that that's I never heard it put that way. But if you were in the boat with me jigging, you probably would say that then too, because that's how I'm doing it. I'm trying to figure it out. Do they want it hot? Do they want it low? Do they want it hard? Do they want it this? I'm just working it, trying to figure it out.
So one of the things that's unique about walleye is they don't fight the most. I mean, bass are known for fighting right. The most, and they're not the biggest. Muskie's the biggest, and the easiest to catch are the panfish. Yes. So what is it about walleye that makes them so desirable when they're not? I mean, there's other things out there that people could be targeting.
A lot of people target walleye because they say they're one of the best eating fish out there to eat. You know, you got your panfish, you got your salmon, you got your catfish and stuff like that. But they always say the walleye, he's one of the best eating fish out there. So to me, if you can master catching something that is good eating and you can master it, oh, I'm going to eat then. I'm not going to starve. I know I can go catch some fish to eat. You know, at times you probably can't get some because either they're too big or too small, whatever the slots are in that state, that lake or that area. But, you know, that's why a lot of people like to target those walleyes more. Bass fishing, I've never really got into it. I mean, it's so much in the bass world right now. If honestly, if I could do it all over, I would probably go into bass fishing, because that's where the money is. You see, people want to watch bass fishing on TV because they're casting, doing, using stiff and stuff. They don't want to sit and watch 8 hours or 4 hours of trolling in the boat. It's boring. But yet, sometimes that's how you have to catch your fish. So if I could do it all over, even though I love eating fish, if I was going to do it for just to try to sport, to get into there and make some money, I would flip-flop the bass. Now, can I still do it? Yes. I'm focused on walleye. I'm going to take one step at a time. I want to get to that level first with my walleye, to get to that boat, get to the tournament, get maybe a sponsor or two to help me out, and then do it. And then that, you know, then, okay, I might want to go try a bass tournament and fall on my butt because I'm not used to it. But yet, I would do it. I'm willing to work that challenge.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about moving, you're getting a new boat, like you're testing out new lakes, you're going over to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Is it always that edge of like, I need to learn this new thing? Is there ever a time when you're not learning and you're just enjoying?
I'm always learning. It's always something that, you know, you might be in a new boat and you might be on a lake, you know, like the back of your hand, but then you got a new graph on your boat. So you're trying to work this, tweak this out or that out to see, maybe I turn the knob this way that it's going to clear up something this way or that. So with modern technology, like I said, with the forward-facing sonar out, that right there is a beast in its own that, you know, guys are trying to figure it out. The older guys are struggling with it. The newer guys, they got it down. I mean, just like video games, the new guys, the new generation got these things down. Now the old guys are trying to catch up to it, and it's kind of hard. Some of them got it or getting it. But, you know, and like I said, I got to start from step one all the way up to step two to get to where I want to. And so, you know, for me, it's fun either way. But when I go out fishing with just friends, I'm just out there fishing to catch fish, to give fish away or take fish home, or just going out to have fun. But I'm still serious at the point that I'm trying to figure out how these fish want to react. They might want, like I said, they want it hot, they want it low, they want it slow, they might fast. I'm still trying to figure it out. So I'm always working, trying to figure out something or different color, different style. But, you know, whatever cadence they want, I'm trying to put that together. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they just want the old style, a hook and a minnow and drop it on the mound and you catch fish. I mean, you know, all we got, these new baits and all this stuff coming out nowadays, the fish doesn't have a chance. The sonars and everything, they really don't have a lot of chances. I mean, they don't have to bite, but yet you can see them. So that's part of the battle right there.
Mm-hmm. So what's the enjoyment for you? You talked about you're fishing with your partner and how close you've become and fishing with your son. How key are those relationships to that time in the boat? And
those are key with me. Like my partner Joe, I love him to death. Like I said, we're brothers. If he called me right now during this interview and said, "Hey man, I need you to be here right now," and he lives in Iowa, I'm going. If he needs help, I'm there, and vice versa with him. Fishing with my son, it was one of the things, that was something we bond. You know, that's something we always have together. That he caught his biggest walleye when he was 3 years old. You know, and heck, it took me 21 years to get a walleye that size. He gets them at three. And he still rubs that in my face about it. I'm like, well, yeah, you got me. And so, but just, it's just relaxing. You going out there with your son or your best friend and just, there's no stress, there's no nothing. Just going out there and trying to put a program together, put our limited fish in the boat to go home and just relax. So I enjoy it to the utmost that I have the opportunity to fish with my buddy Joe, my buddy Danny, my buddy Scotty, my buddy John, that we all get out there and we just fish. And we have little competitions in the boat, you know, nothing major, you know, who get the biggest one, who whatever, and who's got the smallest one, or who didn't get their limit, stuff like that. So it's just awesome to get out there and have fun and play fishing. That's what we call it. We go pre-fishing for a tournament, we call it play fishing. We're trying to dial stuff in, but we're playing because we're catching fish, having fun, we're playing.
So will fishing ever get old for you? I mean, it's literally been in your life, you're talking about, since you were tiny, and sounds like with your son too.
I don't think fishing ever get old for me until I can't do it. That's when I think it's when I can't physically put a worm on my hook or walk and get into a boat or something, and then I will put fishing off and talk to people about fishing, or hopefully my son is still fishing that I can tell him where to go or come get this bait or come get this rod and go fishing. I want some fish or something like that. But fishing, until you put me 6 feet under, I think fishing is always going to be in my life because I just love it. And I think a lot more people should do it. I mean, it's not going to solve your problems, but it sure makes you feel better just being out there in peace and Mother Nature just relaxing. And when I come home, dang, I wish I had that money for that bill, but I was fishing. I'm okay, you know. I have that stress, a little stress reliever right there. I'm going fishing. I don't have a stress ball to do all that stuff. I go fishing. And I just get my mind at, okay, what am I going to use to catch a fish? What's the water current look like? Where do I need to cast? Where do I need to be sitting at? So I just get peace. My problems aren't solved. I'm just having peace.
So one of the things that you show up at any tournament, you can see it's pretty much overwhelmingly a white male space. What would you say to people to bring more people in, to say that this is accessible for them? They can be welcome in there.
Don't be afraid. Just go out there. Do what you have to do. I mean, I met Joe Carter, which is my buddy. I met another guy from Iowa named Rodney. I met another guy from Florida named Charlie. And then myself and another guy named Ali Shakur. That's five people that I've met that are African-American that fish and love to fish. I haven't seen Rodney in a while. I haven't seen Charlie in a while. I see Ali two or three times a year fishing the tournaments. And as you know, me and Joe, we fish every day. If he wasn't leaving to take the boat down this week, I'd be down there this weekend. We'd be on the Mississippi River casting. So I would tell people, just don't be afraid. I mean, I went out there and I didn't know Joe and Joe didn't know me. And I didn't realize I was going to run into Joe. I just went out there to have fun and made friends and I fished. My first tournament, I did have a a problem with a person, and I just did what I had to do. I fished, I got out of the boat, and I went home, and I fished the next day with someone else, and I never let it bother me. I see the guy, I have no time for him, and I'm sure he probably thinks the same about me, and I'm okay with that. I'm always in. As long as they don't put their hands on me, they can say whatever they want to. That's fine. If they put their hands on me, then there might be something different going on then. But I would just, again, don't be afraid. Just do it. I mean, this world is out here. The water's out there. The fish out there. If you love the fish, come on out there. Come on. I mean, when I see another person out there fishing, first thing I do is nod to them, and they nod to me, or they come up to me. I come up to, hey, man, how you doing? I'm Brett. Who are you? I'm so-and-so. Where are you from? Oh, man, that's good. Man, good luck. Hope to see you. And I got a friend there because I'll see that person again. And just like we've known each other for 30 years, that we just can have that bond. We just keep talking, you know. And I wish it would be more people out fishing. But I think some people are afraid. Some people think this game is just for certain people. It's not. This game is open. And like I said, I personally want to get myself to that next level to be, if you want to say it's a person's game, I want to be there. I want to be that person because I know I can do it. I'm not there yet. I just need a little help. I'm going to get there. And I wish more people would come out and fish. Heck, it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
So one of the other things that we're looking at in this story is all of the money that's poured into research, from the universities to the tribes to the DNR, like doing the samples and rearing fish and, you know, trying to stock the lakes and figuring out how they're being impacted. And one of the questions that we've been asking everybody is that worth it? Is the amount of money that's being poured into keeping walleye alive worth it? In the big picture, is, you know, that one species being important enough to enough people?
So do they stock bass and all that too?
They stock muskies.
They stock muskies, I know that.
Yeah,
but,
not really bass.
I think it's well worth it. I mean, it's a sport that isn't as high on the pedestal is bass, because bass has been out there for umpteen years. So walleye just started taking up, you know, in the last, 20, 30 years, the FLWs, the NWTs, PWTs back in the early 70s and stuff like that. So walleye just start going. I think it would be a bad thing to stop stocking walleye in lakes or rivers, wherever you want to stock them at, for that reason. I mean, It's a fish that's a great fish to catch. Is a challenge, just as well as bass. But I think that it would be a disjustice to stop stocking for walleyes and these lakes and tributaries, whatever, because it is a phenomenal fish to catch and it's a challenge.
It's worth it for.
It's very well worth it. Well worth it. Like I said, I started fishing catfish. I never knew what a walleye was. I never knew what a hair jig was. There was guys catching fish off a hair jig. I'm like, what's a hair jig? How do you fish a hair jig? No idea. They got the nice little long skinny rods, and I got a fat rod with eyelids on like that big, fishing catfish and throwing out trying to catch a walleye. I had no idea what I was doing, and I never did catch one while I was growing up. I never caught a walleye until I went to school here. Never caught one.
So was it UW-Eau Claire, or would you?
No, I went to school in a little town up in, it's called Ladysmith, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so I was up there and met some guys, and that's it. They took me under the wing. Some guys showed me how to fish, and I just kept on doing it and doing it and doing it. So it was all right. All right, we're going walleye fishing. You ain't leaving me. Let's go. I'm there.
Yeah, you get dropped into Ladysmith. Yep. You're in the middle of nothing out there.
Oh, man.
It's good for hunting and fishing.
Oh, yeah. And so my first walleye ride was an ugly stick. It was, hey, you get an ugly stick, something simple and not that expensive. So I got an ugly stick. So now I'm using St. Croix as something that's really, I can tell the difference when I'm fishing. That's a rock, that's a line, that's a fish. You know, so... yeah, I think it'd be a disjustice if they stopped doing it with the walleye. I think walleye fishing should be around for a while. Yeah.
All right. Can I get you to say and spell your name just so I have it correct?
My name is Brett Rogers, BRETROGERS. I'm from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
All right. That was great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Really appreciate it.
All right.
We're good here. So... we'll unhook you and let you run, and then we're going to find time next spring.
Yes. Yeah, like I said, if you look at the NWT schedule for Monroe, I mean, that'd be a good one because we'll be there for a whole week.